Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be talking about the grand reopening of the Astoria Column after a million-dollar restoration, which began in June of this year. And we are going to have a full studio at this moment in time. We have two fabulous people in the studio, two talented people who've been involved with that. One is Marie Labinas. Marie has been the hot banana behind the entire thing. Welcome, Marie. Thanks for being here.
Welcome. Thank you.
And we also have Jeff Daly. Jeff has been he has been chronicling the event on film with his, he does video. He's a filmmaker. He also takes still pictures. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. And I believe we're going to be joined by Retta Christie and perhaps by Kevin Cronin and Angela Crosby, also of the Parks Department. And but we're going to start with the two of you right now. And first, why don't we, Marie, let the listening audience know, if they don't know, a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm an art conservator, and what conservation is, that's different than restoration, although this was restoration. We do both, but what we do is preserve historical information. So whatever methods we take, we do everything not to disturb what's original and then to preserve it in any way possible. And with the column, it's a little more challenging because it's like outdoor sculpture, which I specialize in, that you have to use methods that will weather. And over time will have to be maintained. And now that's one thing we've come to see with the column in general and its past history. So I think now we established, especially with this restoration, what the time period is before it needs to be restored again. And not restored in the sense that we have to find the images, but essentially that just weathers away. So we just need to document and continually touch it up as we go along.
As a child, I mean, could you have envisioned, what's the elevator speech? If someone says, hi, what do you do? And you say, well.
Yeah, it's a very small field. And I actually found out about it and I was getting my BFA in sculpture and I started working in a university art museum. And every time artwork was damaged, they'd have to call in a conservator. And then there's only like three grad programs that take 10 people a year. So it's very specialized. And you're either paintings, objects, paper, or textiles, and you specialize, you know, within those fields. And then even within those fields, you have, like, objects. You could be ethnographic, archaeological, or in my case, like, historic structures, outdoor sculpture, and then the decorative and fine arts.
So really, your career involves research. I mean, you have to have obviously artistic talent, and
yes,
you have to have an eye. You have to be discerning. So much.
It is extremely interdisciplinary, and it's even expanded since I went to school in '93. Whereas people can go into different types of museums because it requires different types of knowledge. So there is a sense of connoisseurship, whether it be art history. You do have to have a science background. They require chemistry. So I ended up getting a degree in chemistry because I had that opportunity being at the university. And then hand skills. And so sometimes people are a little bit stronger in one area than the other, but I tend to feel like I'm well-rounded.
All right. Well, that's excellent. We're so lucky that we've had your excellent talent and supervision, and this, and you'd worked on it, I know, years ago too.
Yeah, under Frank Preusser, who was at the Getty, and right before I got into graduate school, I worked at the Getty Conservation Institute under Frank. And then when you're in school, you intern, and one of the internships was the Astoria Column. So in '95, I came and worked under Frank. So he was very good explaining the chemistry of the paints, and I took very good notes and found my old report. So,
oh, that's great.
It was fantastic. It was not
great,
you know,
connection.
Looking back 20 years at, you know, how diligent I was at understanding it, and it was very helpful because a lot of times this is an unusual paint that you don't buy in any store. And at that point in '95, they didn't sell it in the United States at all. We had to import it from Germany. And Frank was a German scientist, or he is, I should say. He's at LACMA now in Watts Towers, and he had asked if I'd lead the project this time, this year, and then but was too busy himself, so he just named me as his successor. So I am very honored.
Oh, that's congratulations, Marie.
Thank you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Very much.
What Marie doesn't mention there too is that besides all those traits, she also had to be involved in the political end of it and the community end of it and the PR end of it, which is also difficult because now you just added about five more hats to your job.
Yeah, I was going to say many hats for this
many
one project.
Hats for this. Yes, exactly. And Jeff Daly. For those listening, for those members of the listening audience who are not familiar with Jeff Daly, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was asked to come in and take some photographs. and just do the progress reports, basically. And that was fun for me because I was able to be the little drop-in birdie that could go up onto the scaffolding and go where, basically wherever I wanted as long as I wore the proper attire, the reflective coats and the hard hats. But I was able to watch the transformation of the whole column, not only through my own eyes, but through photography, and which is what we did on some different websites and places like that, so people could be involved and understand what was going on up there also.
So you really documented this. And Jeff is, if you're not familiar, Jeff owns the SRA Clown Car. His father was one of the original SRA Clowns. He also owns the Glam Tram. You've probably seen that around town.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff had a very successful background in videography. The Tiger Woods shot. I mean, there are different people who would say, you know, which is the favorite thing that Jeff Daly did. But so your background in filmmaking, and you grew up in Astoria.
Oh yeah.
And now you've moved back, and so you're now documenting things. Like tell us about your website, because you have. I think you took pictures of a baby seagull that created a huge excitement.
Well, it was down on the dock. Baby seagull was born. We all grew up here, but nobody had ever seen baby seagulls before or baby crows. And I just started doing videos of it, and people started watching it. Got up to hundreds and hundreds of people that watched it and enjoyed it. It's the same thing with the column deal, was that people had no idea of what it meant to go up there and just paint over the existing concrete, is the way a lot of folks looked at it. But when you get to go up there and watch the transformation of it on film, it was, we talked about it earlier, it was almost sort of like the column was painted with disappearing ink. And it was just slowly going away and disappearing. And people weren't realizing it because it was just this constant thing that was going on over the years.
Yeah.
When you're able to watch the half and the half of it, where they would paint over it, you'd go, oh my gosh, it's becoming chromatic again. It's becoming vivid. It was like your TV went from black and white to color. It was just this wonderful transformation.
Yeah.
So it was great for me to be, as somebody that grew up on that column as a kid, running up and down the stairs, to be able to come back and be able to photograph it and see the changes take place.
And Jeff, so if people had seen the column, it obviously closed in June, and if people looked at the column just before it closed, they would have thought everything looked fine. It maybe was a little faded, or I don't know. And now, if someone had just seen it in June, and now they see it now, what are they going to feel, think, sense?
It's three-dimensional now. It's got depth to it. It's before, it was just sort of some browns and some colors painted on a wall. Now it's got depth. It's got clouds. It's got shadows. It's got things like that. The people, after it opened the first few days, I went up there and I was photographing, and people just stood and they just looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reading it. They're getting all this information now. And all of a sudden, it started becoming the story, was, you know, being obvious to them. And you heard the same things. People would look up and they'd go, oh my gosh, look at that. Ooh, I didn't know that. Ah.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it, is that it worked. What happened worked, that people are able to see that now.
So it's alive in a way. It's alive in a new way.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is that in 95, we had 80% loss, so what we did was find the images through the drawings that existed. But we didn't have the extra time that we did this time, because actually I started May of last year in researching and evaluating and pulling together historic photographs, so we had far more information. And with the talent of Kitty, the master scenic painter, and myself and Aretta and John, we were able to really look at the photographs and see the original 26 Pusterla, and they brought the tools, the scenic artists, that to find those images and make them lighter. They were lighter than what we had done. They had, like Jeff said, perspective, that you're looking into a scene, because he was an easel painter, so a lot of his paintings had that depth and that lighting, and so it came alive, essentially. It's, in a sense, far more Pusterla than what was 95, although 95 got some of the job done.
Right. Well, I think people are very, very excited that it's open again. And I know that we addressed in an earlier show the fact that, you know, it unfortunately had to be closed in the summer because you had to have a certain temperature you had to have in order to do the work. And, of course, otherwise it would have been great if we could have done the restoration in the wintertime. However, you had to have that temperature and the lack of storms. We've just been joined in the studio by Aretta Christie. Hi, Aretta.
Hi there.
And Aretta, tell us about your role with the Astoria Column.
Well, Marie asked me to come on as documentation manager, so I was in charge of just making sure that we were keeping track of photographs, one, calling, making sure that we were photographing the written, the graphic and written documentation, so where we were as far as, like, materials used, what we, how much we had covered, square footage on the column, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So you had to have a team, Marie, though, because you had to have somebody making sure that you had the right paint, and then somebody, and then you had, you brought in, did you bring in Tongue Point Job Corps?
Yeah, well, it started out, like, what, once we had the scaffold up, we actually had structural engineers come in to do an evaluation, and the structure, you know, thankfully is in great condition. And then we had CIME representative Tom Tipps come, because that's what we didn't have in 95, is someone who can come, and then now they have more materials, so he chose a more appropriate paint, like what we were going to use, and then gave us materials to test with. And with that, worked with then the maps that Aretta and John had created, and talked to Kitty and came up with a strategy of how to paint the murals, because two of the facades, north and east, were in very good condition and only required one coat, whereas Tom gave us other products and suggested we put three coats on the south and west facades, which are the first to disappear, and as well as the medallions and the wreath and the Megan Dart.
Okay, so yes,
it took a lot of definite, like, what do you say, corresponding with everybody around.
Yeah, so there was indeed a team. Marie was leading it, and then Kitty Cavanaugh was in charge of the painters. John was in the... John Gutenberger was the site manager, and he sort of oversaw everything, where things were as far as scaffold safety, all that kind of stuff. And then I was in charge of the documentation. So we would have, you know, meetings real regularly. So we'd be overlapping in communication, understanding what needed to be done, what our strategy was.
Yeah, and they did a lot of the prep work before the painters came, like cleaning the column, removing moss, which I'm sure you haven't forgotten.
John and I were up there. We did a lot of that kind of stuff initially. And then we mapped it to figure out where the most loss was, where the most biological growth was, all that kind of stuff, so that we would know how we were going to move forward and how to help it in the future for managing it.
And John Gutenberger did a fantastic lecture, as well as Loretta putting together with myself a orientation for the artists, because they came from different places, a lot Seattle, but the union that they're with is for the Northwest, so it isn't that they were just Seattle. They could be anywhere it was people who were available. And the history, they really were very excited, the artists, you know, understanding the history of the monument and the painting.
And that's what we're going to be talking in the second half of the program about, this fabulous opportunity to have this art show that's happening on Saturday with the folks who have been involved in the restoration of the column. And really, kudos to the city of Astoria, to the Friends of the Astoria Column, Angela Crosby, Kevin Cronin, all those folks who were involved with this restoration, because this is a really, this is a crown jewel for our community and in the entire Northwest. Yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, I was at a travel trade show in Portland, and I cannot tell you how many people came up to me and said, what about the column? Is it okay? We heard that, you know, there was some, there was some graffiti. There was some, well, it was, and I reassured them, it was some spilled paint. It has been cleaned up. Thank heaven it wasn't worse. And you know what? The column is reopening. October 24th is a huge, big event, and everything is good. But truly, people really feel that the column belongs to them, to the to the world at large, in
and
a way.
We got a lot of feedback from the public, like one woman who had worked there, and she saw it right away. She said, I've been looking at this monument for the past 10 years in working here, and she goes, this is the most beautiful I've ever seen.
Yes, we're so excited, and did not get a chance to go up before this program, and I'm very excited. I will drive up this afternoon, actually, and just gaze.
No, it is worth it. I mean, every time I go up, it's the same thing. I feel it's really moving how beautifully painted it is.
They did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
That's incredibly exciting. We need to celebrate that, and we will celebrate that on Saturday. And what part did the Job Corps play in the renovation?
Oh, they played a huge part. Brian Peterson, the plaster instructor, had come by early on and offered their services, and then was extremely interested in the exterior is a plaster stucco. It's not unlike a stucco house, and it's an architectural material used anyway. It's just decorated in European countries. and buildings more so than here in the United States. And he had students, and he offered three right away that he felt were very good. And they were. They were with us the full time. It was like mid-July all the way through October. And they also had very strong skills in painting and just really wonderful kids. And then in the meantime, I worked with Brian on developing a brown coat mix in the areas where the plaster, which is at the southwest top level, where it was literally coming off, delaminating. So we saved what we could from what came off, and they replastered to protect what was there. And he had a group of students come that worked on the mix with myself and Brian and researching it, and then also for the plaster. And those students came for a week and did the plastering and the Sgraffito with us. And then the three others helped with painting and other things. But they were huge, huge help to this.
Oh, good, good. We're going to talk about what Sgraffito is, too, and about why this is such a rare outdoor sculpture, as you call it, the Astoria Column. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and we're talking today about the grand reopening of the Astoria Column. There's a celebration with an art show on Saturday in downtown Astoria at the Carruthers Building, which is right catacorner from the Liberty, really, right downtown. And in the studio today, I have Marie Labinas. Marie has been the, your exact title? Project director, but like Jeff Daly said, many, many hats. Mm-hmm. We have Retta Christie, who's been documenting and doing the public relations outreach. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Jeff Daly, who is a filmmaker, who has been creating videos and taking photographs all the way through the restoration, which is fabulous. I also want to mention that because I was curious, because we keep hearing that the Astoria Column is one of two in the world with Sgraffito, and that the other one is the Trajan. Is it pronounced Trajan?
It's the Trajan Column, Trajan. But actually that isn't really Sgraffito. It's a carved monument.
It's right. Relief.
It's a relief.
Yeah, because yeah. I read, because everyone says it's the Astoria Column, and then you have the Trajan column.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, well, what is the Trajan column? So what?
It historically celebrates, it tells the story, I believe, but this is where
I went online this morning. It does. It tells us, you're absolutely right. It's a Roman triumphal column in Rome that commemorates the Roman Empire, Trajan's victory in Dacian Wars. What's cool is it opened in 113 AD. Mm-hmm. Its shaft is made of 20 colossal Carrara marble drums, which, of course, ours is made. I mean, but why do we keep being compared, though, with this column?
He based Attilio Pusterla, who was from Milan originally and immigrated to the United States, studied in Milan for his degree in art, but so he would have seen it, I'm sure, the Trajan column. But if you like the egg and dart at the top, it's carved on the Trajan column, whereas here it's painted to look very carved, you know, even though it does have the shape.
So it was modeled, the Astoria Column was modeled after the Trajan Column.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it was used, and so Alectus Litchfield was the architect, and so he drew it up, but his idea was to have it be similar to the Trajan Column, and then Pusterla executed the mural and the imagery.
And he did a fantastic job, because even for myself, not being from the area, like capturing like the trees and the fauna and like all of the people and the stories, I mean, I really got more out of it this time. Not that I didn't in 95, but it made the picture complete. And he did a lot of research.
He did a lot of research. I mean, there are different types of trees that are our local, you know, species: firs, spruce, alder. I mean, you see that in the imagery. So he was paying attention. He did do his research.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's great. And Jeff, what do you notice when you look at the column?
Well, I've seen the Trajan. I was there in Rome, saw it one time, and I remember driving around. We were driving through, and I said, "Whoa, stop! Wait! Look at this! Looks like the Astor Column." We stopped. We looked at it. But what I do remember is my first impression of it, not knowing it was there, not knowing I was going to run into it, was it seems like it's only about a third the size of the Astoria Column.
Yeah.
I don't remember it as being as impressive as the Astoria Column is. It's sort of in the middle of Rome right now. It's surrounded by buildings and streets. The Astoria Column is just so amazing being up there on Coxcomb Hill, you know, mm-hmm. with its view, with its vista. I mean, it just, it just celebrates everything about the Northwest because it's up there, and it looks not only at the world, but the world can look at the column. So it's pretty cool.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's almost like a guardian over the city in a way. I mean, it has a personality. People are very much in love with this column. And so how can people be supportive of this restoration? It's now complete. We're celebrating. Let's talk about what's going to happen on Saturday and what you want people to know about.
Well, Saturday, there is an art exhibition. It's the painters and the compatriots that worked on the Astoria Column restoration. But it's basically celebrating the painters, well, and the column itself. So it's Saturday from 6 to 8 in the evening at the Carruthers Building, which is at 1198 Commercial, 12th and Commercial on the north side of the street. And there will be paintings by the restorers of the Astoria Column. The show's entitled Inspired by the Column, and it'll be sort of works that they do in their real lives, that they all have professional careers in the art world, so they'll be bringing in artwork from exhibitions or the sort of thing that they do when they have exhibitions. Also, there'll be some of them have artwork that relates to their time here in Astoria this summer or working on the column. Some of the other people, the tradespeople that worked on the column, will be showing some of their work too. Tongue Point Job Corps students have a couple things. The Astoria High School art class did a unit on the column, so we're going to have all their works. I think there are about 35 pieces that Mick Saragino, the art teacher at Astoria High School, had his students do a unit. So those will be on display. And then we're going to have some historical things, about the column. And some of the tools that we used in the restoration will be on display. So it's kind of a comprehensive exhibition, but it should be a lot of fun, and hopefully the community will come. It'll show a lot about the column and this particular restoration.
And the opportunity to meet the artists.
Yeah, to meet the artists, yes.
Yeah, a lot of the artists will be there. Yeah.
And I know up at the Column gift shop is one of my favorite places to shop, and, Christmas is, suddenly the holidays are going to be coming. And I know that they have a book there, which I believe, is it the entire story? It's all the photographs of the murals? Because I think if they took it off the column, it would be 500 feet long or something. Is that right? Where did I read that?
Oh, yeah. John's the one that knows all these numbers. But it's something like that.
Yeah.
And
But to have it all in one place, I think I saw a book and it shows, I don't know, Jeff, whether it's in it, because if you want to see it, I mean, obviously you will be dazzled by the column itself, but if you want to then purchase something that that shows all of the murals and tells the story, I think there's a book.
Well, I'll tell you, the book that came out last year by Peter Stark, Astoria, that book, it does a lot of pretty much anything that he has written about in that book is depicted on the column. So, I mean, if you want to do a comprehensive job of, understanding the mural and stuff, if you read that book and then go look at the column, catches all the highlights of the region, the historical highlights, and they're depicted there on the column, and they're also, it's backed up with more information in that book.
And I seem to remember, maybe I'm wrong, but wasn't there up at the column by the gift shop, wasn't there like a piece of concrete with a sgraffito, so people could actually look at it and say, this is what it is?
Yeah.
There used to be, but it blew away in the hurricane.
In the 2007 storm, it blew away. But that was a piece from the 95 restoration that was sort of a sample piece.
Right. Do we have anything more like that?
Created panels this time, too, for the artists to test. And actually, it would be a good idea to put another one out there if it's not as large or
exact,
but at the same time it could be a monitor to what's going on as far as the weather,
right?
Because it's hard to get up there to see.
Yes, indeed. Also, I think you are still doing some fundraising for the column, because the restoration obviously was huge, but again, this is a treasure which belongs to all of us who live here and beyond, to the world, in fact. So tell me about other opportunities. I know that there's a Blind Pilot concert on Friday night, which is sold out, which is at Fort George. So wish we could clone them and clone all of that and have a bigger one. And then, of course, people can obviously make donations at the art show. What else? How else can people help the column? Because I know that it
Yeah, well, one of the things that I know about just immediately at the art show, 25% goes to the Friends of the Astoria column. So anything that's purchased at the art exhibition, a percentage of it is going to the Friends of the Astoria column.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and they're, I guess, the Friends are also continuing their campaign, Join the Crew, so you can do, I think it's text or something.
But if you go to their website online, at Astoria column, or Friends of the Astoria column .org, there's a lot of information on there.
Yeah, because okay. I think the real, say, grand reopening technically will be next year on its 90th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
And that's what the Friends are planning for. So this is our grand reopening in the sense of, because the artists are coming back, and we weren't aware at the time that they were planning something for next year to coincide with
the 90th. Well, we wanted to celebrate the work that had been done.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what this is.
Okay, so Saturday is your opportunity to go and purchase artwork, which not only will beautify your home in a historical and interesting, unusual way, but also will support the Astoria Column. And again, the art show is happening on Saturday from...
Saturday, October 24th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Carruthers Building, 1198 Commercial Street in Astoria.
Yay. Okay. Excellent. And then there'll be a 90th grand reopening next year as well.
I just want to say, and it is being hosted by Terry Sund at the Imogen Gallery.
Okay.
And also, very graciously, Jimbo Defoe at the Astoria Coffee House and Bistro is providing the space and the catering and things. So, and the opening will have a nice event, and Jim Defoe at the Bistro Astoria Coffee House has been very supportive.
What a great community member he is.
So and he's going to wear all black, too, probably, to celebrate it, I think.
Yeah, he never wears black, does he?
No, hardly.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening, the community who have come by, and all the artists and staff and everybody, all the support people. It's just been a terrific...
And to KMUN for hosting the column updates, and Kate Brister for editing and producing.
So helpful for people, too, indeed.
Yeah.
So we just have a couple minutes left. Any last thing you want the listening audience to know? You each have just a minute or so here.
Come out to the art exhibition and meet the artists and support the column.
And go look at the column and in wonder and awe. And you will see it's
all
live.
Light, too. It's cool on a gray day,
beautiful.
A cloudy day, a rainy day, a sunset, sunrise. There are times you go up there, it's so magical. Yes.
And Jeff Daly has been fantastic, great, great supporter of this whole project. And he's made a lot of things happen. And we love Jeff.
We do.
We all do love Jeff, indeed.
Blah, blah, blah. You got to go now.
Marie, anything else you'd like the listening audience to know?
Thank you for everything. And join the crew.
Join the crew. All right. You can still be part of the restoration, even now. And Jeff Daly, anything you'd like to say?
No. That's it. Thanks for having me on there again, Donna.
Thank you.
Well, good. Well, I'm...
This was pre-recorded for this time zone, wasn't it?
No, unfortunately, this is live, so we can still say all kinds of crazy things.
So I could say...
Oh, no.
Okay,
no. God, having Jeff Daly or Robert Jacob on the program is... You never know what could happen. It's terrifying.
Whoa.
However, thanks to all of you so much for
thank you.
Bringing the column back to life in a way in which we needed it to be brought back to life, too, for our children, our grandchildren, and the future. So.
And I hope it does go farther than
20
how
years. Long do you think this will last?
I'm shooting for 30 to 40.
30 to 40.
Yeah,
okay,
knowing what we know now and all that we did.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. That's excellent. Well, then I guess we'll have to do another show in 30 or 40 years, but hopefully maybe we'll go in 50 years. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you all so much. And Terry Wilson, thank you, our engineer extraordinaire. And a shout out to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brum for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, make sure you find time to go to the column. Come on Saturday to the art show. And then, in the meantime, today, take a deep breath. Stop and take that moment. We are all rushing around. Take that moment to relax your body and to be present in your body, and then focus on all the good things that are happening in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. However, with gratitude for the things that are going well, you will feel better, and then you can function better in the world. So give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, the only moment which exists right now, this moment. On the amazing planet we call Earth.
You've been listening to Talk of Our Towns with your host, Donna Quinn. Talk of Our Towns is heard every Wednesday morning at 9:30. If you came in late to this program, you got here on our website, coastradio.org. Just click on the Talk of Our Towns program information box on the homepage. Right now, you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM, and live streaming on the web at coastradio.org. Miss Carrie Gallagher will be up next after some NPR news headlines for 2 hours of folk music on Acoustic Brunch. Forecast for Astoria and the coast, chance of rain this afternoon, high 60 to 65. Currently, it's 55 degrees in Astoria, 50 degrees in Tillamook, and 57 degrees in downtown Astoria.